I've been preaching a long time, and you know, I think about my church that was up here. My brother Billy Seacrest, my pastor, brother Carver was the pastor before that, and years ago. Now I'm a member of this church, but years ago, when I was just a young preacher boy, I came home. And my new wife and I, we came home, and Mom said, "I'm gonna cook you supper tonight. I'm gonna cook y'all supper. I know you're going to preach, but I'm gonna cook you supper. You don't have to worry about it." So she cooked that night. I remember fried pork chops and taters, good old taters. We call them taters. Amen. And collard greens. We have collard greens. I was raised on collard greens. And I'm talking about food's going to be at a marriage lamb supper. Can I have amen? And so homemade biscuits. We made homemade biscuits, all that. And boy, I'm telling you what, I pigged out that night. Well, I got up that night to preach, and I took off. Nobody ever told me you wasn't supposed to eat a big meal before you preach. And that night, I got up, and I let her fly, boy. I mean, I was preaching away. And I got right in the main part of my message, and I went to let out a yell. But it wasn't a yell. It was not a yell. It was the loudest belch you've ever heard in your life. I am not kidding. It came out. And so I'm standing there, and you couldn't act like it didn't happen. I mean, because it shocked everybody. And I didn't know what to do. Well, you know how pastors' wives are. They're so supportive sometimes. Amen. And well, everybody sitting there like, what do? We laugh, cry. What do? You know. And about that time, my wife just busted out laughing. I mean, she laughed. And when she did, the whole church fell apart. Amen. Just fell apart. Well, Pastor Carver, he was a pastor before Pastor Bill. And he's sitting on the front row, and he'd been preaching longer than me. I thought, he'll help me out on this one, you know. So I looked at him, and I said, "Preacher, I said, you've been preaching a lot of years. I said, have you ever had that happen, you know?" And he looked at me and said, "No." So that made it worse, amen. But, you know, all these years, you never know what's going to happen, amen. I remember, hey, listen, let me give you another one time. When I was pastoring up in Michigan there, we were baptizing. And I went to take a lady down to baptize her. And when I did, I went to bring her back up. Well, she didn't come back up. And I'm holding a wet wig in my hand. I mean, my hand was under her head, you know. And I pulled up. When I did, I pulled the whole wig off. Well, I'm holding this wet wig, you know. And, well, she's still down there bubbling, you know. And So I reached down. I mean, she's choking. So I reached down and grabbed her, you know, and pulled her up, you know, and she come out, and, you know, called stuff. Well, what was made it even worse, I tried to put the wig back on her head, and that didn't work, amen. And my people said, we'll never forget that, preacher. Long as we live, we'll never forget that. But, you know, when you preach, long as I've been preaching, you're going to have crazy things happen. You know? Let me give you another one. I remember every month we would go to the nursing home and carry my teenagers, you know, there. The older folks love to hear teens sing, you know, young people sing. So I'd carry a group of young people over there and let them sing for them. And then we had like a 15-minute, 20-minute little Bible study, you know, and preaching time. And so I get up there, and I'm preaching. Well, while I'm preaching, I'm standing behind a podium, not a pulpit like that, but it was like a podium. And I'm standing behind, and all of a sudden, I heard something hit the floor and slid right in front of the podium. Well, in Bible college, we were always taught, you know, don't let things distract you. Just keep preaching. Just keep preaching. Well, I just kept preaching. Well, my young people are about to fall in the floor. They are laughing so hard. And I didn't know what they were laughing at. Well, I just kept preaching. I wasn't going to let it distract me. And they're pointing and they're looking and everything. So I kept preaching. So I walked around. I'm preaching away, you know. And I walked around front and I look. There's a set of false teeth sitting there grinning at me. Amen. And they're just grinning. Well, I just kept preaching. I just kept preaching. And I went around. I just walked on around and I picked them up. Kept preaching, bro. And I went over, and some old lady went like this. And she threw her mouth, and I put them back in and kept preaching. Amen. Amen. And that's what you call plugging and preaching. Amen. But you know, you never know what's going to happen. Amen. And I hope y'all got your polygrip in tonight, amen, and I'm going to preach. You just got to be ready for anything and everything, amen. What a joy to be here tonight, what a joy. And I've enjoyed going soul winning and preaching. My wife and I, we're going to leave right after church tonight because I got a missionary I really want to go and spend some time with. Matter of fact, you saw him in the video there, Brother Mark Holmes. He's from Nigeria. And he and I are going to meet up in Tennessee there. We're going to meet up, and I'm going to spend a little time with him because he's just home a little bit from Nigeria. We have a lot of ministries we support through the Mark Holmes. We've helped plant new churches and new pastors. We support nationals full-time. That's, some countries, $150 a month. That's full-time for them. And the Congo is $75 a month. It's not much at all to support a national pastor a month. And, boy, they're tearing it up. These guys are soul winners. They're winning the whole villages to Christ and everything. And then now in the Philippines, it's $450 a month. In Mexico, El Salvador, and different countries like that is $250. And Thailand, Vietnam, we've got a couple churches we support, underground church in Vietnam there. And when's the preacher be? When will he be back? Next week. Okay. Tell him I'm sorry I missed him. And call him when he gets back. Amen. We support nationals full time, and it's really a blessing that we can do that. And then we, of course, the churches in America cost more, you know, to support. Now, what we do for those in America, we support them personally. You know, we'll support them personally to help them with their needs. The least we'll start, we look at how much support they already got coming in. And that what we'll do is bring them in. We'll start at least 300 if they got a lot of support. Then we help them on their building payment. Like if they get when they start a church, they're either renting or either trying to purchase a building, you know, that they can get. So we help out on the payment for 2 years. And what we do that way is takes a load off of them that they're not trying. We've helped purchase handbooks, chairs, sound system, carpet, you know, for old buildings and things. We help them with just as many tracts, Bibles, you know, everything they need. We help supply those needs that they need when they start a church. And that's what the Ron Milton Missions does. And God's been good, amen, and we're able to, we've been able to give, we'll probably this year go over $4 million plus that we've given to plant new works and new churches, and that's from that few $100 I started, and when I walked in the bank, and God's just taking care of the needs. It's a lot of prayer, a lot of faith, just keep going, amen, just keep going, and wherever God takes us, that's where we go, amen. I want to talk to you tonight. Take your Bibles and go to John here, John chapter 12, John chapter 12, and if you would stand one more time out of respect to the Word of God, I'm going to read this verse to you tonight, and I'm going to talk to you tonight on three keys. Look, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I mean it. I'm not educated. Like I said this morning, you won't hear me use words longer than a mop handle. Amen. You won't hear me. I'm not an educated guy. I'm really not. My life story was I was very sickly as a child and missed a lot of school and struggled in school. But God will use anybody that's willing. Can I have amen? Amen. But I wanna say this tonight that I don't know a lot about. Maybe I'm not a successful singer. You know what I'm saying? If I sing, the angels in heaven cover their ears. And my wife can sing beautiful. She can sing, play the piano. And matter of fact, a lot of times she'll play and sing in churches. And pastors say, we don't care if you come back, long as she comes back. Amen. And I say, well, I love you too, preacher. But anyway, I'm gonna tell you, here's the thing about it. And I'm not a gifted person. I'm not skillful. I mean, I can't build a dog house. Can I have amen? I'm not. And you definitely don't want me working on your car or nothing like that. I'm not gifted in any way. I mean that. But I'll tell you, I do know this much, that I didn't just fall off a pumpkin wagon. Can I have amen? And I didn't, when I was a kid, say, I can't hardly wait to grow up to be a failure. Amen. I don't think anybody in this room said, I can't hardly wait to grow up and be a failure. I think everybody said, I'm going to grow up and be a success. And, you know, there's so many things you can be successful at. But to me, the most important thing that you could be successful at is a successful Christian. Can I have amen? Amen. And I want to talk to you tonight on three things that I believe, three keys to a spiritual success. And all these years, I believe I've learned some things. And I've seen people fall, Miss Nash, you have too. We've all seen people that have gone up, and we've seen them go down. But I'm going to tell you, and the more I see it, the more that I say, God, help me to finish this race successful. Amen. Successful. And I believe everybody in this room tonight wants to be a successful Christian. Can I have amen? Amen. Or you wouldn't be here tonight. And I believe you do. And I want to give you three things tonight. Father, thank you so much for the precious Word of God. And I pray that you would help us tonight and fill me with your power. And Lord, use me tonight. I promise you I'll give you the glory because you deserve every bit of it. Now fill me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep standing in John chapter 12, verse 24. You've read this verse before. But I'm gonna read it again. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, now this blows my mind. It's got to die first. It's got to die first. Look what it's saying. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Now, I'm going to talk to you tonight about three keys to spiritual success from this verse. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I've already prayed. Sit down. Amen. Sorry about that. I'm getting older. Y'all pray for me. Amen. And yeah, you heard about three old sisters that lived together. The three old sisters lived together, and they were, you know how old people are. They get more forgetful. And one got upstairs, got one foot in the bathtub, and one out. And she stopped and she said, "Am I getting in or am I getting out?" And the other old sister that was living there with them, she was going up the stairs. She got halfway up the stairs, stopped, and she said, "Am I going up or am I going down?" Another old sister sitting at the kitchen table, she said, "Boy, I sure am glad I'm not forgetful like them." You know, knock on wood, she's not on kitchen table. She said, "Is that the front door or the back door?" Amen. That's about the way I'm getting. Amen. Then y'all pray for me there. But I, the Bible tells us over, we won't turn it, but in 2 Timothy 4:10, that Paul said, for demons have forsaken me. Demons have forsaken me for the things of what? This world. This world. You know, I believe that Demas was not a successful Christian. I believe he might have been a Christian, but he was not a successful Christian. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a successful Christian. When I die, I want my grandkids, I want my kids, I want my family, I want everybody to say that knew Brother Craig Bryan, he was a successful Christian. I want to finish that race well. You see, and I believe that there's three keys to a spiritual. I know there's a lot of things we can say tonight, but these are the three major things that I see that are going to make a spiritual success in a Christian's life. Is these three things I'm going to give you. And like I said, I've been preaching 51 years, and I didn't just fall off a pumpkin wagon. The very ones that I can call successful Christians are these three things I'm going to give you tonight and that I've learned in all these years. Are you ready? Number one, the first key concerns our Savior. Now, every one of these begin with an S, okay? So the first thing I believe that the first key concerns our Savior, and you say, "Well, what do you mean that it concerns our Savior?" Well, if you're going to be a spiritual success, are you ready? He must be preeminent. He must be preeminent. You say, "Well, what do you mean preeminent?" Well, the truth of the matter is that no successful Christian can be a success without the Savior being first place in everything you do. Everything in your life. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 1:18, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all things he might have the preeminence." Amen? The preeminence. You say, "Well, why should he be first place? Why should the Lord be first place in our life?" Well, I'll tell you why. He's our Savior. He's our Savior. Nobody could have ever done what Jesus did. Nobody could have paid the price like Jesus paid the price for our sin. Nobody could have died and took that death payment like Jesus did and paid it all and took my death payment, took my hell payment, but forgave me of all my sin and arose from the dead. Amen. No other person could have ever done that. And because of that, he's my Savior. He's my Savior. That's why he deserves to be first place in your life. Not only that, he's our Lord and leader. He's my Lord and leader. Everything. He's in charge of my life and everything. Everything. Wherever you lead, I'll follow. Wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. You know why? Because if you're going to be a spiritual success, he has to be first place in everything you do. All your decisions, everything you do, ought to be about him. It ought to be him first in everything that you do. So why do I make him first place? Because he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my leader. He's my coming Savior. He's coming again. Folks, I'm going to tell you, he's coming back. He's coming back. And I don't know about you, when he comes back, I don't want him catching me doing wrong. Buddy, I'll tell you, my daddy was a highway patrolman for 36 years. You think you had it tough? Can I have amen? Boy, I had to buy by God's law and man's law. And my daddy, I'm telling buddy, how many of you know what a woodshed is? I hate woodsheds. Can I have amen? I hate woodsheds. You say, why? Well, first of all, you had to work to put wood in there. And then you had to work to get wood out. And then, number three, that's where I got my dancing lessons. Can I have amen? Folks, I know what breakdancing is. Amen? Hello? Hey, would to God we had timeouts when I was a kid. Yeah, you know, the philosophy of the day, timeout. I wish we'd have had that when I was a kid. While my dad was beating the fire out of me, I'd have hollered, timeout. Amen. Amen. And or them 800 abuse line numbers, I'd have called that thing every day. Amen. But my dad was a tough man. So one day, I had a friend named Lester. And Lester was freckle-faced, red-headed, freckle-faced boy. And we always got in trouble when we got around each other. And, well, my dad said, now, I'm going to leave, but I'll be back. I'll be back around 6. He said, I'll be back around 6. Well, you know, the thing about this is my daddy, I don't understand why when he left, he always said this. This is what he always said. You boys, behave yourself. Behave yourself. I don't understand. I was an angel. I just kidding. Amen. And so my dad, well, he left. Well, Lester and I, we got to look. Where's the first place we're going to go? The refrigerator. So we go to the refrigerator, and there's an ice-cold watermelon there. And so it was already cut, everything. So Lester and I, we get there at the kitchen table, and we're diving in that ice-cold watermelon. Well, I looked across the table, and there was Lester. He had his head down eating out of that watermelon. And I just felt led for some reason, because his hair matched that watermelon, that I reached over there and put my hand on the back of his head and pushed it down in that watermelon. Well, when he raised his head up, seeds were coming out everywhere. I mean, he had seeds coming out everywhere. And, I don't guess he practiced the Bible like he's supposed to, where it says, Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And, well, he retaliated. And the war was on. The war was on. We started slinging watermelon everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It was all over the walls. It was on like that ceiling tile like that up there. We had that in our kitchen, and it was getting all up everywhere. And so, but we were having a blast. We were having a blast. Then all of a sudden, we heard the front door open. My daddy was supposed to have been an honest man, but he didn't tell the truth when he was coming back. Amen. He said he'd be home about 6. He got back early. And you know, and I'm going to tell you what, when he walked through that door, folks, whew, I tell you what, I got full of the Holy Ghost. Can I have amen? No, I was ready to run, amen, and run. And my dad, well, let me tell you, I paid for. But my dad, he said, okay. He said, now you boys also, you're gonna clean it up. You're going to clean your mess up. And that wasn't fun. That was not fun. Well, let me tell you something. One day the Lord's going to come back. He's going to find a lot of Christians in a mess. In a mess. And they're not expecting it. And there's going to have to be a lot of cleaning up to do. Can I have amen? And the embarrassment and the shame and all that that's going to be in Christian life. So that, you know what? When you realize the Lord's coming back, you're going to be ready for it. You're going to be ready. You're going to be living right. You're going to be doing what's right. Amen. And that's part of this matter of having a spiritual success in your life, that the Lord's coming back. And I'm going to put him first place now, so when he comes back, I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm ready for him. Not only that, he's our eternal king now and forever. He's my eternal king now and forever. Folks, he's the king. He's the leader. He's over you. You say, well, I do my own thing. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. He's got a way of getting you back in line. Can I have amen? And he's the eternal king now and forever. So I say first thing that I believe if you're going to be a successful Christian, you're going to have to put him totally first in everything you do in your life. Everything. Your family, your life, your home, everything. Your job, everything. You're going to have to put him first in everything you do. You know, I think about that after my wife died, cancer, and I preached a funeral that day. I got done preaching the funeral, and Miss Lindrett, that's her name, Sally Ann Lindrett. She was one of the sweetest ladies in our church. And she looked like a little Pentecostal woman, had a bun on her hair, you know. But she was a servant. She was a servant. And she the last week or two, let us stay at her house just so she could help take care and be the caregiver. Because for 2.5 years, I had been the caregiver. And she told me now, she knew it wouldn't be long. She said, now you can be a husband, not a caregiver. I'll be the caregiver. That's the kind of lady she was. Well, I preached a funeral that day with Pastor Darrell Cox, me and Brother Darrell Cox there out of Trinity Baptist there in Moxville, North Carolina. And We went back to her house. She prepared a big meal for all the people that were there and family. I told her, I said, and I told the kids. I had all my kids there and family, and I told them, I said, look, I was moving to Ohio now. We had gotten rid of my house. We had just got rid of my house. I'm moving to Ohio to where my grandchildren were. My son and them to be near family. So, and I was evangelist then. I'd just gone evangelist not long before that. And so I went back. I told the kids, I'm going to go back, make sure all the doors locked, everything's cut off and everything. I said, y'all stay here. Daddy wants to go back alone. I'll never forget that day when I walked in, just preached my wife's funeral, and walked in the house of that empty house. And when I walked in that house, boy, there were so many memories that began to flood my mind that I'd made with my family, my children. And I just kind of looked around, and everything was gone, brother. Everything was empty in the house, and I stood there in the empty home. And all of a sudden, I looked up. I looked up to heaven. I'm not kidding. I looked up in the middle of that house, stood in my empty, with nothing. With nothing. And I looked up to God, and I said, God, it's me. I said, God, I've lost everything. I said, God, I've lost everything. I said, Lord, I've lost my job. I wasn't pastoring anymore. I'd just gone into evangelism a month and a half before that. And I said, God, I don't have a job. I said, Lord, I don't have a house. It's gone. I said, Lord, I lost my wife. I don't have a wife. And I said, God, and all the days this had to happen, my dog ran away. That's what you call bad luck. And I'm sitting there looking, and I'm not kidding. I am not kidding. I believe God's got a sense of humor because he made us. Amen. But I looked up and I said this, God, I could write a country music song. I really did. I think God snickered a little bit. But then I said, but God, I have you. And that's all I need, God. Whatever you want to do in my life, wherever you want to take me, God, I'll go anywhere, God, anywhere. Here I am, God. Empty myself before you, whatever you want to do with me. Little did I know. Little did I know what God was about to do. Now God's carried me all over the world, and churches are being planted, and souls are coming to Christ. But I'm telling you, when you say, Lord, it's not about me, it's not about what I want, but everything goes to you, God. Whatever you want in my life, I'm willing to do. Where you lead, I'll follow. Can I have amen? So first of all, I say the first key concerns our Savior putting him first. Can I have amen? Number two, the second key is our self-life. The second key is our self-life. Our self-life. See, remember, it was Savior. Now it's our self-life. Listen to what I'm about to say. No success or peace will come until you learn to manage self. Did you hear what I said? No success or peace will come until you learn to manage self. Look in Romans chapter 6 there. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead indeed unto what? Sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. So, according to this verse, we are to die to self. See, self must reckon as dead. You must reckon yourself as dead. I'm talking about nail it to the cross. Nail it to the cross. Wait a minute. When you're talking about self, what are you talking about? Your feelings. Your emotion. Your own thoughts. Amen. Look, if there's a dead man laying up here on the casket right now, if there's a dead man laying up here right now, and I walked up and punched him right in the nose, he's not going to do one thing about it. If he does, I'm leaving. Can I have amen? There will be a new door. Amen. There will be a new door. Amen. And I can talk about it. I can gossip about it. I can go on Facebook and say everything about it. He ain't going to do one thing about it. But folks, let me tell you something. But that's where it's killing our churches today. We haven't learned to die to self. We haven't learned to die to self. We get our feelings hurt over every little thing. But that guy's dead. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. It's not about you. I know you think it is. I know you think the whole world rotates around you. I know you think it's all about, well, what? Guess what so-and-so said about me? Well, big deal. Big deal. Well, so what if somebody rebukes you? So what if somebody calls you a name? So what, you know? I'm telling you, look here. When I pastored in Michigan, I had a man that every month, listen to me, every month would come to my office with a 3x5 card with about 10 things I was doing wrong as a pastor. I'm not kidding. Every month he showed up and wanted to correct me on everything. So he'd come to my office, and when he'd show up, and I'd say, hey, brother, and I'd call his name, and then I'd say, come on in. I need to see what I'm doing wrong. That's what I'd say to him. And he'd come in, sit down. I said, now let me get ready to write these down. And so he starts spitting them out, you know. And I'd start writing them down like, And by the way, some of them, he was right. He was right. Now, some of them I knew wouldn't be good to do because there's other people involved that could hurt them. You know what I'm saying? But as a pastor, I saw that. But I just thanked him for all of them. He thought I was going to do all of them. I wrote every one of them down. I said, thank you, brother. Thank you. And buddy, when he got done, every time, this is what I would do. I'd look at him and say, brother, I want you to know I thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping your pastor. I'd look at, and I said, I want you to know something. Your preacher loves you. And your preacher loves your family. Your preacher loves your family. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, I pray for your family every morning. Every morning I pray for you. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about that man. That man bought every bus that we had. We had 12 bus routes. He bought every one of them. You know what? Let me tell you something. He finally, you know, I could have easily said, who do you think you are? Rebuking a man of God like that. Who do you think you are? And let him have it. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? I knew that he may get upset and pull his family out of a good Bible-believing church and lose them to the world. Can I have amen? And by the way, let me tell you something. He got sick with cancer. Guess who he called to the hospital? And I was by his bedside, took him by the hand. I said, Brother Fred, I love you. Your preacher loves you. And I did. I did. I love him. And I love to choke him. No, I'm just kidding. I'd pick on him. But he said, hey, I did. I loved him. I loved his family. And I took him by the hand. I took him by the hand. And I said, I want you to know, your preacher's your friend. He said, I know, preacher. He said, I know I'm hard to get along with. He said, I know it. And then he said this. He said, I'll see you in heaven, preacher. We'll see each other in heaven. And he said this to me, and I'll have a list. That's what he told me. He said, I'll have a list. Amen. And I started laughing. I said, you probably will. I said, it's okay. Hey, let me tell you something. Every one of his kids are missionaries today on the field serving God and living for the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about you. There's so many people getting their feelings hurt. They see something on Facebook. They get their. I hate Facebook. I'll be honest, I hate it. Now, my wife, Luke, said, I don't care. I really don't. That's how she'll find out I died. She said, he died. Amen. And, I don't care for Facebook. I don't care. I believe you need to get your face out of Facebook and put your face back in the book. Amen. Can I have amen? Amen. I'm not for it. I don't support. I don't. You know what? Because I don't have time to go on there and pick everybody apart. Can I have amen? Amen. Man, we got more churches to start. We got more souls to reach. Amen. We got more to do for God and no time to waste. And I believe that if you're going to be a successful Christian, you got to just die to yourself. You got to die to yourself. Don't let your feelings get hurt over every little thing. And realize most people that attack you, they got a problem too. And they need help. Can I have amen? And I believe if you're going to be a success, listen to what I'm about to say. How many of you know good people that were in this, even this church, that were serving God and living for God, are not even in church today, not even here anymore because they got their feelings hurt? Can I have amen? You know why? They didn't die to self. And then number three, last of all, the third key concerns our service. Our service. I said our Savior, our self-life, and our service. The third key concerns our service. Listen to what I'm about to say. No Christian can be successful who does not think of others. I said no Christian can be successful who does not think of others. Remember that Christ cared for others. He was moved with compassion, the Bible says, when he looked at others. He exhorts us to care for others. Take your Bibles real quick in Mark chapter 10. Let me get there. Mark chapter 10. And look in... chapter 10, verse 11, is it verse 11? 43, Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Look what the Bible says. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your what?
Minister.
The one that's the greatest among you is the one that ministers to you, to others. Amen. And as a servant. Look what it says. Look what it said here in verse 44. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be what?
Servant
of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Wait a minute. If the Lord, I'm talking about God, is willing to leave his majestic throne for me, then why can't I leave my recliner, my couch, for somebody else, my home for somebody else? You see, we're to be servants. Servants. Serve. There's no greater joy than serving. Being a servant. I mean, I I watched his family yesterday out there mowing the grass and weed eating. Poor thing, made his wife weed eat and everything. You abuser. Amen. And I hope he pays you good. Amen. But you know, I watched that, and I watched people serving and serving others and feeding others and clothing others and helping others. And you know, my wife and I go all over, everywhere, and we love serving. We love just serving people and helping people and encouraging people and picking people's spirit up, amen, and ministering them and winning them to Christ and giving the gospel out and loving people. There's no greater joy, no greater joy than just spend your life being a servant. If you're gonna do anything, listen, we must decide it's about Him first, amen. That I'm putting Him first, and I'm dying to me, and I'm just gonna live for others. Others, Lord, let that be my motto. Let me do what I can, Lord, for others the rest of my life. I just want, that day I was driving down the road and I began to weep, and my wife said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Honey, I'm in the fourth quarter of my life and all I want to do is carry the gospel to the world." And little did I know, God heard that. And now, boy, what a joy it is to, who are we to care for? Who are we to care about? I'll tell you what we're to do. We're to minister to those that are floundering in seas of despair. We go after the wounded, the broken, the ones that their life's a mess, and we care about them. Those that have been broken by sin. And folks, this church is not a museum. It's a hospital. Can I have amen? It's reaching the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, the whole, everybody we can with the gospel. Because that's the way we want to be a spiritual success. It's caring for others. Spiritual success comes only to the unselfish. I said spiritual success comes only to the spiritual, comes only to the unselfish. I end with this story. I heard this story years ago. A preacher, he told this story. He said that he had a derelict young man who was a bus. He came in on the bus. He ride the bus. He was 16 years old. This kid was always into everything. He was always doing some of the wildest things, craziest things. And he was just a derelict young kid that you couldn't help to love him. The church loved him. The pastor loved him. And he sometimes he'd walk the church. He lived blocks down the road. Sometimes he'd catch the bus, you know, and ride back and forth. Well, one day this derelict young teenage boy, 16-year-old boy, walked into church and he saw his preacher. He said, "Hey, preacher." He said, "I got a question for you." And the preacher said, "What is it, son?" He said, "What do you think I was born for?" And he asked that question. And it was kind of funny to the preacher because he knows the kid. And he kind of laughed a little bit at the kid. And he said, "Well, son," he said, "I'll be honest with you." He said, "I don't know. But," he said, "I'm sure God's got a plan for you." He said, "I'm sure God's got something for you, or he wouldn't have created you." And so he walked off. The kid went off to Sunday school and church. And, well, after church, he walked home. He was walking home. And as he was walking home, he just like any typical teen boy wants to get into everything, he saw a couple of, like a street or two over, he saw all this smoke barreling up. And he took off running. He wanted to go see. He said, "It must be a fire." And he wanted to, you know, just curiosity ran over there. By the time he got there, he heard people screaming in the house. And it was said that that young boy, 16-year-old boy, literally barreled his way into that black smoke coming out of that house, and kids were screaming, and he began to grab people and was yanking them out of that house, pulling them out of that house and rescuing people. And then he went, the preacher said he went, he literally found the mom and dad literally passed out. And he was literally burning himself, said he was just, the heat of that house was starting to, it was just, the heat was just unbelievable. But he literally drugged that mom and dad out of that house and rescued that whole family. By the time he got the last, I think it was the mom, he got the mom out. He literally fell on the ground. By that time, emergency people had gotten there. And he had fallen on the ground. They said literally his face had disfigured from the heat and everything of that fire. They scooped that young boy up. They scooped that young boy up and took him immediately to the burnt unit at the hospital. Well, somehow somebody had seen the fire and heard about it, and they found out that that little boy had been in that fire. So they called the preacher. The preacher immediately, he had just got home, was sitting eating lunch when he got the call. And he took off to the hospital. And when he got there, they put the gown, the uniform on him and the gloves and everything. He said when he walked in, he said he couldn't believe what he saw. That boy laying there with his body disfigured from the heat of that fire. And he said literally he was melted himself in tears. He was weeping in tears. And he went over to that little boy, that young boy, and he said, he called his name. And he said when he called his name, and of course he was on pain medicine and stuff, but he said to the boy, open his eyes the best he could and just kind of looked at him, squinching his eyes. And then softly, came this out of his mouth. He said, preacher. He just said, preacher. He said, for this cause, I was born. And they said about 2 hours later, that boy died. Why are you here? Why are you here? Is it about you? No, sir. No, ma'am. It is not about you. Amen. It's about Him. Amen. It's about the Lord. And it's about others. Amen. And we're to be pulling them out. Pulling them out. Pulling them out. Rescuing them from hell. So that they don't spend eternity in hell. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what DeRon Milton is about. That's what this church is about. That's what it's all about, is rescue the perishing, care for the dying. And when you decide that you're going to make Him first in everything, and you forget yourself, die, you're dead to yourself, and you decide, I'm going to be a servant. And I'm going to pull those out that are floundering in seas of despair. You're going to be a successful Christian. Can I have amen? You're going to be a successful Christian. I hope tonight God spoke to your heart. I hope God spoke to your heart. I hope you decide tonight, I've decided. I'm going to be a spiritual success. And I'm going to give it all to Him. Amen. And I'm going to follow Him. Let's stand our feet tonight. If you're not saved tonight, I hope you'll get saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior tonight, oh my, He loves you. He loves you so much, He died for you. He died for you. He paid for all your sin. And all you have to do is come to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus paid for all my sin, saved me. With every head bowed, nobody looking. Who would say tonight, preacher, I'm going to be honest. And by the way, don't worry about what people think. It doesn't matter what people think. It matters what God thinks. But if you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I do not know for sure if I drop dead right now, I'd go to heaven forever. Then all I'm going to ask you to do, when nobody looking, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. I do not know for sure. What would you lose tonight? What would you lose? What would you lose if you were to get saved tonight? I'll tell you what you'll lose. You'll lose hell. And you'll gain heaven. What a deal. What a deal. We're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you to be a member. We're not asking you to give money. It's already paid for. All we ask you to do is trust Christ as your Savior. And the only thing that's going to keep you from doing it tonight, if you're not saved, is your pride. Your pride. Is there anyone say tonight, preacher, pray for me. I do not know for sure. If I died, I'm going to heaven. And all you got to do is slip your hand up. I'll say, God bless you, and put your hand back down. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Is there anyone? Anyone at all? I don't know everybody. I would assume you've been saved, but if you haven't, be honest. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. Is there anyone? Now, who would say tonight, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. I want you to do something. If God spoke to your heart tonight, don't be scared of this altar. Don't let you. A lot of people say, well, I can pray at my pew. I hate to say this, but that sounds a little proudful to me. I would say tonight, humble yourself at an altar that's prepared for you.